Father, we thank you for this morning that we can come into your presence to learn of your precious word. Father, we know that it is a privilege for us because you have instituted a day of being set aside for you. Lord, we know in the Bible it is a principle, an eternal principle of resting in your presence. Father, we know that through salvation, Lord, we already have received that eternal rest. And that God, we don't have to strive anymore. We don't have to work to please you, because Father, by virtue of our salvation in Christ, Lord, you have already accepted us in the Beloved. We thank you, Lord, that we are accepted by you. We thank you that it is your gracious provision, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come into your presence. Father, we thank you that we can come every Sunday, Lord's Day, to learn of your word. I pray, God, that we will have an attitude of submission to you, first of all, in terms of your word, that, Father, we will learn to live for you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do as we learn today about striving for excellence. Lord, we pray that it will be a hallmark of Ambassador Baptist Church, and every believer, every Christian, or everyone who is part and parcel of Ambassador, Lord, will strive for excellence in everything that we do, Lord, because we serve an excellent God. We serve the Most High God. We serve a God that is that has a name that is above every name, the name of Christ. Father, that at the name of Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, you're an excellent Lord to us. You're an excellent Messiah to us. You're an excellent God to us. You're an excellent Savior to us. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to have this motivation in our hearts to be excellent in not just in what we think we're good, but in everything that we are supposed to do for your honor and glory. Help us to have a biblical understanding, Lord, of what it means to be excellent, that we might honor you, Lord, our excellent God. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we'll just go ahead and we'll have the notes. You all have the notes already? Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll just go ahead and get started. I'm going to read a very interesting article first, all right? Then after that, we're going to look at what's the meaning of excellence. And then we're going to look at a particular passage that we have been memorizing for October. And as I was looking at the Philippians 1:9-11, just give a little bit of background, just focusing on the fact that God wants us to be presented blameless before Christ. Okay, but then there's the word excellent in there too, and I thought it was quite coincidental. Well, all things will work for good. We want to look at what are the things that are excellent based on the definition. Next week, it's a very important lesson, I believe, because it is going to look at perfectionism and biblical excellence. What is the difference? Okay, we do have people who want to do things to the very best of their ability, but we need to actually weigh carefully based on the scriptures. What is actually perfectionism? You know, it's perfectionism. Someone wants to do things to the T, like everything must be sweet, sweet, and very, very nice. And what actually is biblical excellence? And what is the difference? Okay. Because anything that is not done in the Spirit of God and based on the Bible will always lead to frustration. But everything that is done in the Spirit of God will always lead to growth. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. And how do I pursue biblical excellence next week? All right? So we'll do the first three today. But I want to begin by asking this. Just sharing this story that I've read. Okay? Are you ready? Story, huh? It is known that Admiral Hyman Rickover, okay, this is an admiral. Admiral is actually one of the highest ranking officers in the Navy, okay? This admiral always likes to give interviews that what the people will call legendary. That means every time there's an interview that was done, or is something that they had learned from. And one of the reasons is this. He doesn't ask standard answers. He doesn't ask standard questions. He wants to remove all the textbook answers and go right. And when he asks questions, he wants to go right to the heart of who the person is. Okay? He wants to really understand what the person is all about. Okay? So he always wanted to cut through the glib and the rehearsed answers. You know, sometimes when a manager or someone big post or you go for interview, you know, interviews, they teach you how to do interviews, right? What to say, what not to say, right? In interviewing, like maybe if you're in HR, they will say, they will teach you when a manager asks you certain things, even if you're not too sure, try to give another answer kind of thing, all right? Some rehearsed thing. So this admiral is not interested in that. He wants to actually know who is the real person underneath, okay, in HR. So he especially wanted to know how candidates would act under stress. On one occasion, he would have them sit in a chair with a... this is interesting. He would ask them to sit in a chair with the front legs... With the chair, last time it wouldn't. So what he'll do, he get a candidate to sit, and he will saw off 1 inch here and 2 inch here. Okay? And he will want to see how the candidates for the Navy, how they will react. Because in the Navy, you have to act under stress. Let's say when bombs coming and people are fighting, you need to be able to act under stress. So one of the way he interviewed his new recruits for the Navy is to get them to sit on a chair, and he purposely would saw off the front part of the chair, 1 inch and 2 inch. So that means you are in balance, okay, when you're sitting down. In one of his books, apparently Jimmy Carter, okay, Jimmy Carter, you know who's Jimmy Carter? Who's Jimmy Carter? One of the ex-US presidents, okay? Apparently he was in the Navy as well. So he was actually interviewed by this admiral. And in his book, the admiral asked Jimmy Carter, okay, in your Naval Academy, when you were there, Jimmy, what was your standing in the whole Navy cohort? All right? And so when Jimmy Carter wrote in his book, he said, I was very proud of this fact. You know, and he swelled his chest and replied, sir, I stood 59th. Out of 820 people, I was 59th position. Out of 820, that's quite good, right? Isn't it? 59th? Out of 800 over naval officers, he stood at 59 out of 820. So but then later on, he actually stopped. He was waiting for congratulations. Wow, not bad, are you? Wow, so many people. You know something? We will always tend to have this idea, wow, 59 out of 820, you're quite good there. It's because at least you're the top 100 out of 800, so it's quite an achievement, all right? Then later on, Jimmy Carter actually had to stop a while. He remembered who he was sitting in front of. And then, instead of being congratulated, the admiral actually asked him, did you do your best? The first thing that this interviewee said, yes, sir. But then he remembered who this person was. No, sir, I didn't always do my best. You know what? Then the admiral looked at this Jimmy for a long time and asked one more question. And he said he asked this question he will never forget. I just keep painting a scenario again. He came in from the interview. The admiral asked what is his standing in the Naval Academy. He's 59 out of 820, which is quite good. And then after that, he asked the question, did you do your best? And Jimmy went, oh, he wanted to say yes, but then after then the admiral asked one final question. You know what he asked? After Jimmy Carter said, no, I've not always done my best. You know what he said? Asked a question, he asked, why not? Why not? You know, when I read that, it's like, you know, in this world that people want to feel good all the time, this admiral knew there was excellence to be aimed for. That 59 out of 820, in his estimation, he asked a question, if you've done your best, then that's okay. But Jimmy had to actually admit, I didn't always do my best, sir. And the admiral had to look at him and say, why not? Why not? Why didn't you do your best? You know, when I read that as part of the preparation for this, that really encouraged me or challenged me. And sometimes when we find out, we ask ourselves, our Lord will say, how did you serve me? How did you do? What are the things you do for me? And, you know, if we have to honestly say to the Lord, I didn't always do my best. You know what Jesus might ask? Why not? Okay, so as we start that off, we're going to look at the definition of what excellence is. Okay, then we'll look at Philippians 1:9-11. I believe it's a very important passage for us to consider. And then what are the things that are excellent? Okay, next week we'll talk about perfectionism versus biblical excellence. What is it? Okay, and then we'll look at how to pursue biblical excellence. Okay, the word excellence, as we begin, comes from the word excel, which means to surpass. Okay, comes from the word excel. You know, I excel in my studies. In other words, there is a standard. But excellence means I excel the standard. You know, I go beyond. I go beyond what is expected of me. I go beyond. In my studies, I go beyond. That's excellence. All right? We're going to be studying a few passages. And collectively, one of the things you will find, the Bible never talk about excellence per se. Okay, meaning that they don't have a whole topic on excellence. But if you look at the different verses and God's heart about how we are to do things, you will find that there are many, many verses that when we put together, we can have a collective idea. What does God mean when we talk about excellence? Okay, let's turn to a few verses. We'll be looking at quite a number. Try to keep it. Maybe I'll get the people to read the different verses. Then we want to go through them. Okay, Edward, you can start with Ecclesiastes 9:10, Jeremiah, Mark 12:30. Mark 12, chapter 12, verse 30. Timothy, if you can turn to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Sister Asson, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. then if Allison, Allison, you can turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13. And then Joanne, sorry, Leandra, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10, 4, verse 1. Okay, then Joanna, 4, verse 9 and 10, 1 Thessalonians. Then if Lydia, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Then we'll all look at Philippians 1, verse 9, 10. Okay, let's read loud and clear. And we want to actually study these different passages, write down points on them, and then there will be a collective definition of what biblical excellence is. Okay? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Okay? So here, Solomon is actually teaching a principle. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Okay? The whatsoever thy hand findeth to do is not an idea of, oh, by chance I have to do this, by chance I do that. Okay? It has the idea of what is the intention or the direction that we have. Example, studies. Example, some projects that you may do. So which means that anything that has been given to you as a task, you know what Paul Solomon says? Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, with the intention and the motivation behind that, do it with everything you have. Everything. That's why he said do it all your might. All your might. Okay? So this is not a matter of chance, but we have already have in our hands the project. So example, studies in play, in our Christian life, in our family, in our work, in our thought life, in everything that we do, Solomon's principle that God gave us through Solomon is to do our best in everything that we do. Okay? Why? Because when we go to the grave, we have no more chance. Okay? When we die, there's no more chance. That's pretty obvious. Okay? Number one, in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, God says, whatever you have to do, do it with everything. In other words, when you set up for dinner, you know, in a family, think of everything necessary for setting up dinner. Okay, if you're supposed to teach a Sunday school class, okay, do everything you can to make it the best Sunday school class. That's what Solomon is saying. Okay, if you're supposed to preach, do a lot of study, give it all you've got. Okay, make it clear or what everything that you have. If you have to study for exam, make sure you shift everything out. Okay, this is my goal, and you study my best so that I can honor the Lord. Okay, so that is what everything we do. All right, the next one, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Usually we will look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 38. But Matthew 22, verse 37, 38 also have this same passage, but it's one slight difference. So I chose to use this. All right? The Bible says when we love the Lord, how do we love Him? How do we love Him? How do we love the Lord? We love Him with everything we have. Number one, our heart. The heart is the core of the person. With all our soul. The soul refers to all our emotions. With all our mind, our intellectual life, the way we think about Him. Okay, have you thought about that before? We need to love God with all our mind. How we think, need to glorify God. Lord, I love You, and I'm going to love You with my mind. The things that I think about You, about people, is going to be the right thing according to Your Word. And I like this part because in Matthew 22, Matthew didn't include the last part, our strength. It has to do with physical, okay? So which means, when God says, how are we to love God? We're going to love God with everything we have. Our heart, our thinking, our emotions, and our strength. You know, sometimes I'm trying to do it. No, God says, do it with your strength. Ask God for strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We serve God with everything. Sorry, we love Him with everything that we have got. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Okay, in everything we do. Okay, Paul says, whether therefore you eat or drink, eating and drinking is the most basic of all human activities. Even in that, God says, do it for God's glory. Not for our... Yesterday, we had a lot of food. Okay, can we honestly say we are eating and drinking to the glory of God yesterday? Or we just say, wow, this dessert is so nice. Well, we enjoy it, and we really thank God, you know, for the food. And of course, we also got diet mango at the end, you know. Mango juice just basically melted. Sorry, the ice melted and it was quite diluted, all that. But you know what? In everything we do, we thank God. And we do it to God's glory. We eat to God's glory. Okay? So Paul says, in the most basic thing you do, in the most basic thing you do, we must also have a goal. You know what's the goal? To glorify God. That's what Paul is saying. Okay? 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Okay. Paul actually tells the people at Corinth, as ye abound in everything. The word abound in everything means to overflow. Okay, for those who just came in, the definition, we're talking about biblical excellence. Excellence means to excel. It means that there's a standard, you surpass that standard, that's excellence. Okay, so in here, this verse, Paul was actually telling the Corinthians, I was just reading it, I was thinking, Paul says that they abound in everything, in faith, okay, in their faith, they abound in everything, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and this is interesting because we're preaching through Corinthians. Paul says, even as you Corinthians excel in your love, abound in your love, overflowing in your love towards me. You know, there's a question mark because there are people who are criticizing him in the church. But you know, Paul actually looked on the positive side and said, look, as much as you abound in your love towards me, he was actually trying to get them to do something. The Corinthians actually promised to give. But you know what Paul says? Look, as you have abounded in everything, as you have excelled in everything, I want you to excel in this grace also. Now, what is that grace here? If you look at 2 Corinthians 8, what is that grace? The word grace means to God giving us something we don't deserve, right? Paul wants the Corinthian church to excel in, as much as their faith, utterance, he wants to excel in giving also. But then I was thinking, it's interesting that Paul actually calls it grace. Why? Why does Paul call giving a grace? Excel in this grace also. The reason I believe Paul said that is because when we give, it's actually God's way of blessing us. When we would abound in the grace of giving, when Paul calls it a grace, we actually benefit ourselves. We actually grow. Because why? By nature, we are all very selfish. We only think about ourselves. We're self-centered. So the day that in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because they think about themselves all the time. So Paul actually says, I want you to excel in this grace also. Okay, I'll just read what we have. When we give, we benefit ourselves because God in His wisdom has prescribed instructions and principles in the Bible that if we follow it, the obedience to the Word of God is God's grace towards us, His goodness towards us. Why? To help us to grow in excellence. Help us to grow in Him. Okay? 2 Thessalonians, next verse, chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. You can make small notes along the way because we're going to collectively take these verses and then come up with a biblical definition of what excellence is. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13. Okay, so here, Paul is commanding the Thessalonians because there are some people who are just kind of saying, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. Okay, I just sit down, don't do anything. But over time, they begin to interfere in other affairs. So Paul says, look, I'm commanding you and exhorting you by the Lord Jesus Christ that in peace, in quietness, you work and eat your own bread. And don't be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't grow tired. Some people say, oh, I'm doing too much. You know what Paul says? No, do some more. Say, what? Really tired? No, don't do good. You know what? In the Christian life, Paul is always exhorting us to do more. Read the scriptures. Jesus didn't even have time to rest. Okay, he actually come apart and rest a while. But you know what? Other people come, okay, guys, we've got to do our work now to care for these people. You know why? Because Paul, actually, by his own life and example, said, be not weary in well-doing. Remember what excellence is? Surpassing the standard that people have set. Surpassing it. Okay? Be not weary in well-doing. We are not to be tired of well-doing. The implication is to keep on doing good to others. I'm not minimizing the need for rest, okay? I'm not minimizing the need for rest, but I'm saying that if there's an opportunity, don't be weary in doing it. Keep on doing it, regardless how we think, how we feel, do the right thing anyway. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Next one. Okay? You'll find the word abound continuously, because the word abound simply means to overflow, to be in excess. Okay? In this verse, the Apostle Paul actually begged, the word beseech means to beg of the Thessalonians or ask them and encourage them just as they welcomed the teaching from Paul. What's the teaching? How to live their Christian life, how you ought to walk, and how they should please God. You know what Paul says? You should be overflowing in these two aspects. You need to be overflowing. You need to abound in knowing how to walk with God and how to please Him. These are the two aspects that Paul focused very much on in this particular passage. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 and 10. You notice what Paul is saying? Guys, you guys are loving so you don't need me to teach you how to love. You guys are loving so well. You don't just love us, you love all. The Bible actually says here in verse number 10, and indeed you do it all toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But you know what? Paul says, I want you to increase more and more. He says, what? I already do so much. No, keep going. Do more. abound in the love that you already have. Firstly, the Thessalonians were taught, guys, I don't need to teach you how to love because it is very evident that you're loving. Not only that, you guys are loving not just for the people there, but all the brethren, all the brothers in Macedonia. You know what Paul says then? Increase, overflow in that kind of love to the people. Increase more and more in the love that you have shown to the brethren of Macedonia and all the brethren. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:10. I just read what I have. The way I have worked, Paul says, and did all that I can for the Lord is because of what God has given to me. And it is only by God's grace, that I can do what He wants me to do. Okay? So here, Paul actually extols God and says, even though I'm increasing, I'm going towards excellence for Him, it's only by God's grace that I can actually do that. Okay? Let's all turn to Philippians 1 verse 9 and 10. Okay? We'll read all together. Then I'll just give you a collective definition based on all the verses that we have. Okay, Philippians 1 verse 9 and 10. These are memory verses. Okay, if you don't know, for October. Let's read together. Philippians 1 verse 9 and 10. Ready? 1, 2, go. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Okay? So after this, we'll go through a lot more detail into this verse. But based on the verses that we have actually looked at, there are a few things. Number one, you notice that Paul is always asking us to strive for the best, do your best with all your might. Okay, there's one thing, striving for the best. Another one, he says, in all things, in every area, not only in the area that we seem to be good at. Paul says you are to strive your best in every area that you find yourself involved in. Okay, it could be in a game, it could be in whatever that you need to do. Okay, and number three, it also includes with the grace that God has given to us, the opportunities God has given to us. And you know, the more I think about this thing about grace, it's interesting because, no, even giving is a grace. Then I was thinking, Lord, then in that case, every instruction you give us is your grace towards us, to actually help us to grow towards you. Does it make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever God has put in the Bible is His grace. We don't deserve to hear the decrees of heaven, but yet God gives us to us by His grace. Okay? So, by His grace. And number four, the fourth thing we see, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, there's another motivation there. Okay, for the glory of God and not for self-glory. Okay, so biblical excellence, a combination of all these things, is the Christian striving to be the best that he or she can in every area of his or her life with the grace given to him or her for the glory of God. I say again, biblical excellence is the Christian striving to be the best that he or she can in every area of his or her life with the grace given to him or her for the glory of God. Okay? And in every area, if you look at Paul's and some of the other verses we mentioned, it refers to two big areas. One, what we do for God and who we are for God. That we strive to be the best in our love, the best in our patience, the best. These are the character parts that God says, but also the best in our deeds, in our doings, in our giving, to be the best there. Okay? God wants us to strive in that area. So, therefore, biblical excellence, the pursuit of biblical excellence, is a goal of spiritual maturity. In a way that we do things, we will not settle for mediocrity. We will not settle for mediocrity. We will go for the best. We will do what we can with the things we have. We will do our best with what we have. God doesn't expect us to do our best with something you don't have. But with what we have, what can we do? That's biblical excellence, okay? That's one thing. It's a mark of, the pursuit of biblical excellence is a goal of spiritual maturity. But you know, secondly, it's also a mark of spiritual maturity. In other words, when you do your devotions with your children, you do your best. And that's something that we're really still trying to work on. In other words, we don't do what we think. So, you know, in Singapore, we've learned to ad-lib. You know what's ad-lib? You know what's the meaning of ad-lib? Sun pian, as, or just by the way, since we are here, let's do it. It's not biblical excellence. Biblical excellence is say, I'm prepared. I learned many, I was one of the, I was involved in the Christian Fellowship when I was in Victoria School. So there was this training seminar. I'll never forget what the teacher, or rather the This trainer was from a Christian organization. So I will never forget what he wrote there for us to always remember. This is very important for Sunday school teachers, for all of us. Saying God, proper, prayerful planning prevents poor performance. Proper, prayerful planning prevents poor performance. Okay, all the P's. Proper, prayerful planning prevents poor performance. Remember this for the rest of your life. I was 13 when I remember. I never forgot that. I'm still trying to attain to that. But you know what? I was remembering. Doesn't God deserve our best in every area? Let's think on that for a while, okay? So the motivation. Okay, so biblical excellence is a goal of spiritual maturity. It's also a mark that we are spiritually mature. If we settle for something that is less, we need to grow. I need to work towards that. I hope we all collectively, as a church, remember we are a church, we need to strive towards biblical excellence. Okay? Now let's look at Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11. And I want to highlight some points from there. Because then this actually gives us the platform for actually, what does it mean to strive for excellence? What does Paul relate to us? I read this again in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. Stop me, all right, if you have any questions or something that you think, what about this area? Okay, just feel free. It's Sunday Bible hour, you're free to share. And this I pray, Paul says, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. I want you to underline that at least in your mind. That ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Okay? This is a prayer of Paul for the P of Paul. Prayer of Paul for the Philippians, okay? The alliteration. The prayer of Paul for the Philippian church. Number one, he says, I'm praying for you, Philippian Christians, that your love may abound. The word abound means overflow. That your love will abound more. You know, Paul wasn't just satisfied with the love being there. He said, let's abound more and more and more. Let's keep increasing. And you know, think about that. Why can Paul pray that? Why can Paul pray that? Why? Sometimes you say, I've reached my limit already. You know, some people will say, I've reached my limit. That's it, really. Enough is enough. I heard one missionary say, enough is enough. I'm not going to take that anymore. Okay? What is Paul able to pray? I pray that your love will abound more and more. You know why? Because the love there is agape, unconditional love that only comes from God. And God's love is endless. In other words, we can keep growing and growing and let the Lord Jesus Christ control us and just keep growing and growing in that love despite all the things that have happened. Just keep growing. Paul says, my prayer for you, Philippian church, is that your love will abound yet more and more. Notice it's not just love. How is the love to abound? In knowledge. Knowledge of Christ. Remember, we are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Okay? Grow in the knowledge and in all judgment. The word judgment has to do with discernment. And it's interesting, Paul talks about the motivation love. Then he talks about the biblical understanding of who Jesus is. And then he talks about the judgment, the discernment. Why? Notice the next part. So that you can prove, so that you can test what is the most excellent thing to do in every situation. Does it make sense? That's what Paul is actually driving at in this particular verse. He said, this love may be overflowing with the knowledge of God's word and with proper discernment in all things. And the desired goal is that we may be able to approve. The word approve there has the idea of testing, that we will be able to discern and examine the things that are excellent. Excellent. What Paul is actually wanting us to understand here is this. You see, I think you see Ezra singing. No, he's singing his best, with the best of his ability. He's not going to be someone who just sits there and he's like, Jesus, love me. He's trying to get doing his best with what they have. And no, that is the amount of biblical excellence, that we just do the best with what we have. And Paul says, I want you to be filled with the proper motivation, with the proper knowledge, so that it leads you to proper discernment, so that in all the situations that you approve, you can actually say, okay, what is the best thing that I need to do in this situation? Okay? The word excellent has the idea of bear through. Okay? Bearing through means cutting through all the things. I go down right now, what is the best thing to do in every situation? What's the best thing that I need to do in every situation? The Paul says, that ye may approve things that are excellent. What is the desired outcome, The desired goal is that we can approve things in every situation that are excellent. But what's the desired outcome? You know what? It's holiness. Notice the last, that ye may be sincere. The word sincere comes from hele in the Greek, which we get the word halo from, okay? The idea of the sun's rays. That ye may be sincere, pure, literally judged by sunlight. In other words, you know, this light is bright, but the sun's light is always brighter. Agree? Sometimes you look at the sun, it's very glaring. That's why we cannot even look straight into the sun. Even at a distance, the sun is, because of the brightness. Paul says, look, I want you to have the proper motivation so that when you're being judged, based on what you have done, the sun's light, that ye may be sincere and what? Without offense. The word offense has the idea of sin. There will be nothing that people can point to that you'll be faultless, okay? You'll be inoffensive when? At the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, so Paul's prayer, okay, you can actually start filling in. So Paul's prayer is that the Philippian church will be full of the love of God, enriched with the knowledge of God's word and proper discernment based on the Lord's will, so that we can test the things that are of excellent value. This principle is a principle that we are aiming for the best that God has for us in every situation. For the purpose that we will be shining as pure rays of light, and without sin and offense at the day of Christ. And in verse 11, if you look, so and also that our lives may be full of the evidences of the fruits of righteousness through Christ working in our lives for God's glory. Okay, that's quite a large, kind of big paraphrase. All right, so any questions for that particular verse? Motivation is love for God. When you have love for God, you have love for the brethren, number one. Okay, and then, in that love, increase more in knowledge, knowledge of God's word, understanding how to discern in different things, why, for the purpose that God has for us, so that in every situation, where we have something that God wants us to do, Lord, what is the best that I can go for with the things that I have? Let's put it this way. I was taught in the army, if you run out of rounds, you use your rifle to hit. Okay, if your rifle is gone, you take your bayonet. And basically, you just do the best you can to survive. You know, you use your helmet, your belt, your water bottle, anything you have, water you throw. Just to survive, you just do the best you have. God doesn't expect us to do our best with what we don't have, but with what we have, God is going to say, okay. You know, sometimes God doesn't give us a lot. You know why? See, if you can do your best with what I've given you, let's see what you can do next. When we actually ask for the van from the Lord specifically, we asked, but because our church was still small, about 8-10 people who were giving actively. We thank God we had support from outside. So, but you know, I told God this, God, Lord, the van, I'm just trying to think. I asked God, God, we need the van. Then I changed my prayer. I said, Lord, actually, we don't need the van. We can still do the ministry without the van. But God, the van will be a good to have. It'll be more convenient. You know, I've learned that God just wants to see what we can do before we actually have. And if we cannot even do, in my mind, I was thinking at that time, I have to be very honest, God, because $42,000 is a lot of money for a small congregation to give. I told God, we will still do your ministry even though we don't have the van. God, it will certainly be a big help. You know, we could cut down time and all that, but God, we put it before you, and God gave us the van. And ever since that, we were able to ferry people to church and use it for the ministry and all that. You know, through that, I've learned that God does give us what we would like to extend the ministry, but we need to be prepared. Even if not, are we still willing to do the ministry for Him, to serve Him? Many missionaries in the world do not have the comforts. I remember when I think Brother Cloud, Sister Linda, who went to Nepal, she said when she reached there was no proper running water, there was no toilet, okay, for a lady from America. But you know what? She did the best that she could with what she had. That's what God wants us to do, okay? That we may be able to discern, okay, God, I have love in my heart, I have knowledge of your word. God, give me discernment. What is the best in every situation? What's the best in every situation? And then, the purpose is at the end of the day, we will be able to be without offense and be sincere at the judgment seat with our lives full of good fruits for God's glory. Okay, some questions before we go on to what are the things that are excellent. How is my love for my brethren and for God? Am I more informed about the word of God in my Christian life? Because Paul says you need to grow in love, not just in love, but also in the knowledge of God's word. Am I more discerning about the will of God in each situation? What I need to do? Am I in submission to what is the excellent thing? Okay? Can I decide what is God's best in every situation? In every situation, there is a best. Example, I have $2. What can I eat for my lunch that will bring glory to God? I don't think we ever ask this kind of question. We just say, ah, let's go ATM, you know, get extra. But let's say you only have $2. Would you ask yourself, Lord, what is the best way I can do or with this $2 that will bring glory to you? Oh, and Brother Johnny, you know, every situation like that. You know, as a Christian, we need to, I like what Brother Robert said yesterday. He just shared with me about something. He says, when you come to church, you must have B&B. He said, what's B&B? You need to bring two things. You need to bring B and you need to bring B. You need to bring your Bible and you need to bring your brains. I mean, that's what he said. Okay, it was interesting. Okay. But you know, in every situation that bears upon our lives, you know what? We need to have the discernment. God, what is the best thing I need to do here that will be in conjunction with what you say and that will bring you glory? Okay, that's what Paul was trying to drive at here. And finally, do I have evidences of the fruits of righteousness in my life? That's what Paul says, that you may be filled with the fruits of righteousness by Christ to the glory of God. Okay, any questions up to there? Any questions? What is excellent now? Biblical excellence is not so much of, you know, sometimes in this world, the idea of excellence is always to be the best. The best. Do we realize that we can never be the best? How many of you can run as fast as Ben Johnson? Maybe Ezra, or it's not a younger one. Oh, you run. Can we measure up to a person like Ben Johnson? No, Ben Johnson. Who's that? Who's that? Fastest guy? Is he? Who? Oh, Usain Bolt. Ben Johnson was, he was actually the fastest man, but then they found out that, okay, he had steroids. Then Carl Lewis took over. Okay, my time was Carl Lewis. Now it's Usain Bolt. How many of us can be the best? You know, in Singapore sports school, the emphasis is be the best. The best. The best. In Singapore, it's always the best. You know what's God's emphasis? Be your best. Your best. Are you the best father that you can be? Are you the best soldier that you can be? Are you the best mom that you can be? You, with the talents you have, with the gifts you have, with the time you have, with the money you have, are you the best student that you can be? Or we say, I wasted 3 hours yesterday looking at McDonald's. Or something like that. Or, are you the best? Are you your best that God has put in you? See, God doesn't expect you to measure up with someone else. The only measurement we have is with God, by the way. Christ is our only example. Okay? God wants us to be our best, not the best. Because if I want to be the best, okay, I want to play for Spurs.
I'll never get there.
Because that time I was round, short, and fat. Republic of Singapore Air Force. Okay? That time I was short and fat, but I was okay. I was quite a good goalkeeper, okay? And my goal was to play for Spurs. But I can never get there. You know why? I'm a Singaporean. I'm round, short, and fat. I can never reach that. But you know what? I could be the best I can be for my school. We got runner up, okay? I let in a goal in the penalty, okay? But that was my best. My best. No, God is asking for, God is not asking for you to be the best. God is asking you, are you the best in who you are? In who you are. In other words, if there are flaws, if there are errors, you know, sometimes we will, just like the story that I read just now initially when the admiral actually asked him, what is your position in the Navy officers? I'm 59 out of 820. Not too bad, you know, 89th position out of 820 officers. And then the admiral have to ask him, did you do your best? Say, no, sir, I didn't do my best at all times. Emerald asks, why not? Why not? Why not? Okay? So remember, excellence is not about being the best. Excellence is about using your time that God has given to you, the money, the resources, who you are, to being your best. And can I say this also? That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians, comparing ourselves with ourselves is not wise. It's an unfair comparison. Because I have background and you have backgrounds. They're totally different. Some people are more privileged. They have more resources. They talk about capital resources. You know, some of the students in this world, they get to go overseas trip. Why? Because they have enough capital resources for them to have that. But then there are some students that don't have that. How many of you read the story of, I think it's an 18-year-old girl who received a top scholarship or something, but they found out that she was working night shift to support herself. But she was one of the top students. You know what? Johnny is a tall order. The question is, are we being our best for God? Our best. What we have, our attitudes, our talents, the things that we have, are we being our best? Can I say this? That when we accept that we cannot be the best, but God says, I want you to be your best, and I accept you the way you are, just do your best that you can. You know what? That is so liberating. That frees you. Say, God, I don't have to compare with someone else. I just have to compare with you. And God, you've given me, did it help me to be the best that I have. Lord, I've got $10. Help me to use it to the best of my ability, both to support my family, both to support your world or whatever, you know. God, that's all I can give. You know, God says, remember the widows? You didn't give, he had 2 numais. That was all he had. But Jesus says that giving was excellent. It excelled all the rich people. Remember? God just wants us to be the best that we are, that He has made us. Okay, someone has said this. Who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift to God. I say that again. Who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift to Him. Say, Lord, thank you for making me round, short, and fat. I'll be the best round, short, and fat goalkeeper there is. Or something like that. And, you know, just being the best. You know, when we think like that, number one, we don't have to compare with one another. Number two, we can encourage one another. We don't have to judge one another. Say, you cannot compare with me, I cannot compare with you. We're all different. Just remember, God wants us to give our best, the thing that He has given us. Okay, so, any questions? All right. So, in the last few minutes, we're going to touch on what are some things that are excellent in this world. And sometimes, remember, we need to increase in the knowledge of God. And also and being able to discern what is more excellent. So I'll give you some of these things so that we can actually, as we make decisions and we want to be approved, so that we'll always be aiming for things that are excellent. And I believe very much that many Christians fall flat. How many of you would actually say this? This is not from Scripture, but it's just an observation that who we are in the future is actually a sum total of all the decisions we make now. Who we are in the future is actually a sum total of all the decisions we make now. How we make decisions at every point. Okay, if I make a decision that I'm going to be a martial artist, which is not possible, my knee is very bad now. But let's say I made a decision, I will slowly move towards a direction, yes? And then maybe I shift here, shift there, but at the end of the day, I may get there because of different decisions I make. Every one of us is a sum total of the decisions we make every day of our lives. Okay? That's why Paul actually says, look, I want your motivation to be right, fill God's glory, fill God's word, be able to discern so that at every point you can test what is the most excellent thing to do. So that at the end of the day, you may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which is by Christ to the glory of God. All right? So what are some things that are excellent? Let's look at the verses. Okay, maybe Joshua, you can turn to Matthew 6:33, and Sister Shaoling. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Songling, you can turn to Galatians 6, verse 14. Sir Agnes, we'll look at 1 Peter 1, verse 15 to 17. Sister Elizabeth, you can take 1 Peter 2, 11. Brother Taylor, you can take Hebrews 11, verse 6. Then Sister Maria, you can take the 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. And Brother Ping Kwang, if you can take, Matthew 16, verse 26. Mark, Ken, can you turn to Psalms 138, verse 2? Okay. And then there are 2 more verses we can deal with it afterwards. Okay. So, what are some of the things that are excellent? For those who just come in, the word excellent comes from the word excel. Now, there's a standard we are surpassing that. We want to look at the world has its things of excellence. We want to actually make a comparison, which is more excellent in the Word of God, and what are the things that we always should aim for. Okay? Matthew 6:33. Okay. First point is the kingdom of God and His righteousness are always excellent. Anything pertaining to God is excellent. Do you know why? I didn't actually think through this, but after I was reading something, that's true. You know why God and His glory and His kingdom is always excellent? Because God is perfect. His righteousness is always perfect. His kingdom is always perfect because it's Him. He is ruled by a perfect, excellent God. And that's why we need to seek things that are excellent, which are in the economy of God. The things pertaining to God, like His word, His will, His church, His commission, His goals for us, His biblical instructions. And then His righteousness refers to those things that are pertained when we are choosing the right in every situation. By the way, in every situation, there is a right. In every situation, there is a right. Example, should I have a time, should I go to church? Let's say there's a fellowship going on. Yeah, it's just a missionary coming out. We're just having fellowship. Should I go to church or should I go play soccer with my friends? Hard choice for some. What is the excellent choice in that situation? Of course, people say, it depends on the situation. But just generally, what would be the excellent choice? To just one look at the situation, what's the excellent choice? Have you ever spoken to people? I'll share this at Brother Desmond. I think one of my children actually shared that Brother Desmond was actually, he was with someone at Gardens by the Bay. He was taking some photographs, right? And there was this little boy with muscular dystrophy. Okay, muscular dystrophy. And so then Brother Desmond was actually interacting with this boy. And later, the boy, he started to ask some questions. And later on, Brother Desmond loaned him his camera. And actually, all the people say, don't loan him. Wait. Because muscular dystrophy, you must understand, the muscles are very weak. You see, and, you know, Brother Desmond's camera is like this big. You know, and so he's afraid that he would drop and spoil it. He said, no, I might just sling it around his neck so that he can. So he began to enjoy himself. You know, he's trying, wow, so heavy. Take. You know, and after that, of course, towards the end, it's time to go. And so Brother Desmond came and just say bye to him, take the camera back. And he looked very sad. He was really enjoying himself, but he looked very sad at the end of the whole thing. And then at the end, Brother Desmond, as he was walking away, I think he heard someone calling him, right? Apparently this little boy calling to him and said, I will never forget you. And when I grow up, I want to be a photojournalist just like you. And all Brother Desmond did, in the course of his work, he chose to be a blessing to this little one. He did the will of God there. It could be to just give encouragement to this muscular dystrophy is very terrible. Lifespan is about 20 years old. Because muscular dystrophy, what happens is your muscles will start to get weak, and your lungs and your heart are all muscles. And over time, it gets weaker, and you can actually die just because your muscles get weak. You know, Brother Desmond, so is it just by us? Along the way, he didn't do much. Just be with the boy for a while. It changed his life. There are people who have attended fellowships and their lives have changed because God touched them with a missionary's word. I think I share with you many of the things that people have said to me. I never forget those things. Those are what we call defining moments that God actually gives to us that sticks in our heart. Lord, I'm going to make a decision based on that. And sometimes we waste the grace that God has given to us. Okay? We need to choose God's kingdom above all. Okay, there's always a right in every situation. That's why we need to seek the Lord in every situation. Okay, don't be too hasty in making decisions. All right, okay, the following are a list of things that God says is more excellent. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Okay, what are things more excellent? Heavenly things are more excellent than earthly things. That's a comparison that God gives. Seek the things which are above, not the things of this earth. Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. What does the cross of Jesus Christ represent? What does it represent? Huh? Okay, humiliation, that's one thing. What else? Sorry? Trials, okay, what else? Huh, what else? Huh? Okay, it does represent salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. But in this context, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross represents here, according to what Paul is saying, everything that the cross stands for, humiliation, despise, trials, obedience is a very important principle because Philippians 2 talks about Jesus submitted himself even to the death of the cross. Okay? So everything that the cross represents, the trials, in other words, I'm going to say, in a decision that said, if I cheat in this, let's say I have a choice, my career is on the line. The boss asked me to cheat. Of course, it's very clear wrong, but you say, if you don't cheat, I'm going to blackmail you, I'm going to whatever, okay? There will be trials as a result of that. But you know, I'm not supposed to cheat. That's against what God stands for. And so, as a Christian, with the love of God in our hearts, with knowledge and discernment, say, Lord, I'm going to approve the things that are excellent. The things that are excellent is, I'm going to seek heavenly things. I'm going to rather go through the trial in my life that you're going to put me through than to cheat. Does that make sense? Okay? And that's what Paul, I'd rather choose the glory of God. I'd rather choose a cross. So the cross, the things that represent by the cross is more excellent than this world's glory. So what if I get $1 million as a bonus because I cheated? So what? Paul says, no, I would rather choose the hard way. What, can you remember another man in the Bible that chose the hard way rather than the world's glory? Moses, okay? Who? What? He saw the him that is invisible. Who would rather suffer the afflictions with the people of God, Hebrews 11, rather than participating or just paraphrase sin for a season, rather being involved in sin for a season. Okay, he says, look, I'd rather suffer with the people of God than to be part of sin for a season. The things that are excellent, so the cross is more excellent than this world's glory, and we are to glory in it. Okay, the next one, 1 Peter 1:15 to 17. Okay, so in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Okay, in this particular point, holiness is more excellent than worldliness. Number one is God's calling. God says, be holy because I'm holy. God says, be holy because I'm holy. And because in 1 Peter 2:11, it says, please stay away from the fleshly lust, why it wars against the soul. Why is holiness better than worldliness? Worldliness corrupts the things that pertain to God. Holiness dull our spiritual senses. You know, there was one time I was speaking to a Christian girl, and she would say, oh, my school is going to have a Halloween thing at Sentosa or whatever, and am I going for it? Then I was thinking, well, do you realize the background? Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's just fun, you know? I mean, we're just having fun. I mean, yeah, they're all pretend one, you know? Worldliness dulls our spiritual senses. The decision that she's going to make there is not approving things that are excellent. Does it make sense? Think about that for a while, okay? And then worldliness seeks to dry up our soul, because the Bible says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from which war against the soul. You know, the fleshly lust fights against you, and will dry you up, and it will actually lead you astray. Okay, we'll just do one more, and then we'll actually stop, right? Next week, we'll continue with the things that are excellent, and continue with the pursuit of excellence. Okay, just one more. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18. 2 Corinthians, Samaria, sorry. 10:18. Okay, what are things excellent? God's pleasure is more excellent than man's praise. God's pleasure is more excellent than man's praise. I'll just read these five lines that I have. When men praise us, we are happy. When teachers praise us, okay, we're going up the scale, we maybe have a sense of pride. When our principal praises us, we may be over the top. But when God praises us, we are out of this world. You know, man's praise is just words. But when God's praise is his whole authority, a whole of who God is, and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think that is enough payment for a life of going through the cross for Christ. Okay? The praise of man is superficial. Christians, you know, work for the praise of God in everything that you do, because God's pleasure is more excellent than man's praise. Okay, we'll stop here because of time. Any questions? So remember, biblical excellence is not being the best, it's being your best. Bro, Johnny, I can't really read and write. Then, are you practicing it? I'm not going Mandarin, but we need to try to be our best, the best that we can. And it's interesting, one thing, when you actually push towards what you are, what is your best, you then are pleasantly surprised what God can do in your life as you surrender to Him. Does that make sense? Many people have said, oh, I've never realized I could do that. Because you haven't tried. The next time when someone asks you to do something for the Lord or something, maybe to help someone or whatever, rather than say, no, I can't, say, Lord, with your grace, I'll try. You'll be surprised. Some people really, if I ask you to speak Tamil, of course, you can still try. But it's going to be an uphill task. Okay? But if something that you have never tried before, don't let the opportunity slip. You know why? It could be that God just gave me one talent. I want to see what you do with that. I want you to see what you do with that. It's an opportunity. Brother Desmond had an opportunity. I mean, it's just part and parcel of his life. You know, just pass the camera, nothing big, just share. But you know what? It changed the perception of this little one. Anyone who have worked with muscular dystrophy children, you know what's the saddest thing about muscular dystrophy children? They are an intelligent child trapped in a body that doesn't work. They cannot move according to their... You know, I shared with you before, I saw a boy, he's about this big, not because he doesn't want to, he just cannot walk, he has muscular dystrophy, spinal atrophy, couldn't actually move. He has an IQ of 130, trapped in the body, cannot walk. But you know what, Brother Desmond, just spending a few moments with this boy, I would never, can you imagine someone saying that to you? Let me ask you, maybe this week, try to do something that someone can turn to you. Of course, we don't aim for that. But you know what, this boy's life will probably change simply because someone... loaning the camera. That was an encouragement to him. Okay, let's be our best for the Lord. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can explore your precious word. Father, your word is always an encouragement to our life because it helps us grow. It puts your grace into our lives that when we respond to it, Father, we will respond based on what the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And God, that we may be better people for you. Father, help us to understand that you made us, you love us individually. God, you don't expect from us what we don't have. But Lord, like how the Admiral questioned Jimmy, you do expect from us what we do have. Lord, I pray that this might be a representative prayer of every one of our hearts. Lord, help us to be our best for you in every situation, Lord, for your glory, based on the opportunities you've given to us and the resources we have. Lord, help us to be thankful that we even have a grace, an opportunity to be our best for you. Lord, help us, both in character and in the things we do, to put Christ first in his kingdom, that we might be the best for you. Thank you for what you're going to help Ambassador to be always striving for excellence, that people may not see us, Lord, they may see you. The God, because our motivation is agape, it's not self-love. Lord, that your name and your glory will be magnified. Oh Lord, may we always decrease. May you always increase. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've got about 20 minutes, so we're back for the service. Right?